to once again have a relationship with God. Amen? You know, the gospel is so simple. The gospel, that is what the gospel is about. That Jesus Christ came here through the Virgin Mary, and he grew up, you know, in Israel. And he grew up, and later he was prepared to come to die for the sake of you and me and everyone else on this planet. Praise the Lord. And that through the shedding of his blood, just as we sang here, and through the death on the cross, that all of us may come and accept him as Lord and Savior. He is the ultimate sacrifice that was given for the sake of humanity. Amen. And this is the greatest story that can ever be told, you know, about the death and the resurrection of our Lord. Now, in the world, we have so many religions. We have like the Islam, and we had the somewhere in the grave. He's born, amen. Hare Krishna, I think, is a leader of another religion. And a time came that he also died, and they can trace him and his bones and his remains into the grave. Amen. Buddha, who is a leader of the Buddhist, you know, is a leader of a religion as well. And I was reading somewhere, and they were saying, go to his grave, if they would really mind writing some inscription on the door to the grave, they would write occupied. Amen. If you go to any other world leader who ever led a movement, you know, a religious movement, at one point they either died, and even today people who rise up and lead religious movements, it is incumbent upon them to die at one point, and you can trace their remains into their graves. Amen. But if you go into, if you go into Israel, you know, if they, I guess I've never been there, I would really love to be there, but I guess there would be inscription that would say it is vacant, praise the Lord, because he is risen from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. He is the only leader. And actually, to be honest with you, I wouldn't say that Christianity is a religion, but he is the only leader of a world movement that is called Christianity, who died and rose again. Praise the Lord. And that is our power today. That is why we proclaim, why we take these emblems. And the Bible says we need to do so as often as we may to proclaim his death. Amen? It is because his death was not the ultimate. He rose from the dead. And this morning we want to go into the Bible and check out a few things of what happened, the events of the resurrection. And so we are going to go into the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. I'm just going to ask a few randomly to read for us a few verses. And I'm going to start with Joseph, Joe. Joe, you're going to read the first two verses. And then I'm going to ask Pastor John Junior to read the first and next three verses. And that makes it five. And I'm going to ask Ben to read the next two verses. And then I'm going to ask Grace. Going to read the next two verses, and then I'm going to ask Brother Mwangi to read the next two verses, and then I'm going to read the rest. Okay, can we all start? And please, I would request you to stand in the reading of the word. I mean, not all of you, but the person who reads it, to stand in the reading of the word. Amen. And if you don't mind, if you can read from there, that's still fine. Amen. Praise the Lord. In verse number 12, the Bible says, and when the chief priests had gathered with the elders and had consulted together to develop a plan of deception, they gave a sufficient sum of money. And then my Bible here says, into, you know, quote unquote, a bribe to the soldiers, and said, You say this. His disciples came at night and stole him while we were sleeping. And if the governor, Pilate, calm him down and keep you out of trouble. Verse number 15. So they took the money, they paid for it, as did as they were instructed, And this fabricated story was widely spread among the Jews and is to the present day. Praise the Lord. Now, the story about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ ought to be told to our children over and over and over again. Now, why should we do this? Why do we have that responsibility? We have that responsibility because our children are the ones who are going to outlive us. Amen? And they ought to carry this message of the cross to the next generation. Praise the Lord. Now, there are so many activities that surround these celebrations, and I know we send texts to other people and we tell them, Happy Easter. And you know, I had an opportunity to go and dig out what Easter really means, with how it's connected to the Resurrection Sunday. And this is what I found. I don't even know whether it's true, but it really shocked me. Now, Easter is derived from the word estre, and which is an Anglo-Saxon, and it came from a pre-Greek goddess of spring and fertility. And her festival was celebrated on the day of the spring equinox. In other words, celebration of this goddess was celebrated during spring, the same time that we celebrate the resurrection, the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so many of the traditions that were used to celebrate this goddess is used in our worship survive to this day. You know, so that's why we have the Easter bunny, a symbol of fertility, the Easter egg. You know, it's painted with bright colors to represent the sunlight of the spring, and the giving of baskets filled with treats, as just as a few of the traditions that survive. However, I'm not saying that whatever we are just about, because we are going to have the children hunt for the eggs here, that it is a bad thing. You know, it's a thing that will be ingrained in their minds to know that what we celebrate. But I would like us to know that everything about this weekend is not about an Easter bunny. Are you listening to me? It is not about the eggs and the baskets that the children run about picking up, and they open up and they find, they're entreated with some treats within those eggs. Easter, the resurrection Sunday, or the weekend that we celebrate the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, is not about that. Amen? It is very, very important for our children to know that it is about the Easter bunny. You know, I've had my children tell me, there's this place, you know, in our community whereby there's going to be thousands and thousands of eggs. And Daddy, can you take us there so that we can go? It always coincides with this weekend. But I would like us to know that even as that is celebrated, you know, we ought to stress to our children that the whole thing about Easter, and when we talk about Easter, is about the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. We need to emphasize that very clearly, that even as we let them go and chase those eggs, maybe we need to put some Bible verses in those eggs so that when they open up, they'll read something about the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to teach them. We need to have that responsibility to tell them about what happened, the events that occurred, and the reason also why Jesus had to go through what he went through, ultimately ending up even on Golgotha, and that on the third day he rose again. We need to explain to our children the significance of his resurrection. Amen? For without the resurrection, there is no salvation. Salvation is invalidated if only Jesus died. You know, and that's why there's a difference between the elders, as I told you, the elders of these other religious organizations like Islam, which is invalidated because their leader is still in the grave. As we experiment for them to hear in their ears, that is the truth, that their leader is still in the grave. But our Lord Savior is no longer in the grave. He is risen, and he is seated in the right side of the Father, interceding for you and me. Amen? He is alive. Praise the Lord. That's what makes the difference. And our children ought to know exactly about that. That Easter is not about those things that I talked about, but it is about the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, before we wind up, I want us to find out exactly what happened, you know, at the you know, the events at the tomb, because this is very, very important. I'm hoping I'm just going to go very slowly and simplify it so, for the sake of our children and so that they can know. We also want to find out, as we find the activities of the tomb, we want to find about these women that came to the tomb. What did they do? And what were they, was the exchange of the women who came to the tomb? In fact, I noticed that the men were not included. And so I really, at this point, would like to appreciate all the women of the church. Amen? For your diligence and for your commitment to the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe that the churches today, I mean, if the women would never be in churches today, most churches maybe would be closed. Because there's something about a woman when she decides to seek her Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's just a thing, pursue that women have when they decide to pursue Jesus. Praise the Lord. And you set a good example not only to our children, but to the people that you relate to when you pursue God. Having said that, I'm not saying that men also don't pursue God. We do so. Praise the Lord. But I was just perturbed, you know, to find out that only women were the first groups that came to the tomb. Praise the Lord. And in a minute, we're going to find out why they came to the tomb. We're also going to find out how the angel came up here and how heaven was also participated at the tomb. And then we're also going to find out briefly about the appearance of the Savior, just as we read. You know, it's all coming out from the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, the first 15 verses. Amen. So, the first verse, as we read in the book of Matthew, we find out some women came. Amen? Some women came to the temple, I mean to the tomb, to find out. Actually, in the older translations, they used to refer to the tomb as a sepulchre. So we find that some women came to the sepulchre. And they were coming probably, you know, they just wanted to come and check out what was going on. Remember, they had followed the events of the cross. They were actually there, most of these women, when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. Amen? Amen? And among these women, the Bible refers to them as Mary, the mother of Jesus. And also we had Mary Magdalene. And I think there was also another woman called Salome. I think she was related to one of the Marys here. And so they are coming here. And probably they are coming here to pray or to meditate near the place where his body had been buried. Maybe they were coming to make sure that everything was in order at the tomb. Whatever reason that made them to come, the Bible tells us that there are women who came to the tomb, probably to check out, to see whether Jesus was, I mean, whether the tomb was well kept or everything was okay. I mean, it was just yesterday when Jesus Christ was hang on the cross and then he was put into this sepulchre. So they were coming to check out. Now, number two, we find out that there are, when we read elsewhere in the book of Mark 16, verses number 1, we can also find that from the book of Luke 24, verses 1, that there are some who came there to labor. Somebody say, some came to labor. Amen. And I wish we can read from Mark 16, verses 1. We have it. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought some spices that they would go and anoint him. Praise the Lord. When they bought the spices, the purpose of them buying these spices was to come and anoint the body of Jesus that lay in the tomb. So we find there are some who came just to check out to see whether some things were happening, but there are some who came prepared to come and anoint the body of Jesus. Now I want you to know that these women served Jesus. And actually Jesus did some tremendous miracle, particularly elsewhere in the scriptures. The Bible says that Mary Magdalene had 7 demons. Yeah? And Jesus Christ as one at once, he came and killed demons. Amen? And she was set free. And Jesus did so many wonderful things serving these women. Praise the Lord. And so it was their turn to come and also come and anoint him to serve the Lord. It is like they were prepared to serve him any given moment. Praise the Lord. And so we find that there are some who came just to see what was happening, and some came there to labor to anoint the body of Jesus. Okay, number C, there are also some that came to linger. If we read from the book of John, chapter number 20, John 20, 11 to 18, the verses, the Bible verses there tell us about Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene was among the last women that was left on the cross when everybody was gone. In fact, with one disciple, just think about this. I was reading this and I said, wow, how frail we are as human beings. Remember that Jesus had 12 disciples. We all know that, right? Jesus had how many disciples? You know, I asked this question another time and people could not really tell how many disciples. Somebody could not tell how many disciples Jesus had. Jesus had 12 disciples. And think about this, that all but one deserted him. It was only John who was there on the cross. Remember when Jesus Christ was just about to die and he is speaking to John? He falls down his cheeks and he looks at John, realizing that this is it. I can no longer take care of my mother. I'm so weak. I'm dangling here on this cross. And he looked at John and he said, John, here is your mother. Amen. And he looked at his mother, and he said to his mother, here, your son. And so he told John to take care of his mother. Praise the Lord. Now, among the people that were there were Mary Magdalene. And so when they knew what had happened, of course, Jesus died, and he hanged there on the cross, lifeless. And so you remember, who is this person who came and bought the body of Jesus? Let me see if there are Bible teachers here or Bible scholars. Who is the person who bought the grave to go and bury Jesus? Joseph of? You guys are good, man. Can you give Jesus a hand clap? Amen. I love that. You guys are Bible scholars. Wow. Yes, Joseph of Arimathea. Even though we cannot pronounce that name, but he is the guy who went. Think about this, how Jesus, a loving people, he went and bought a grave to whereby he would put the body of Jesus. And he went and asked for permission, and he comes and picks the body of Jesus, he wraps it so cleanly, and he puts him in this sepulchre that he had just purchased. Okay? And he rolled a very huge stone. In fact, he had really to, kind of like use all he had put a big, huge stone. Circular stone to the door of the sepulchre. Amen. And so the next day, which is very early in the morning, the first person that came to find to look out for Jesus, guess who it was? It was Mary Magdalene. And he comes up there, he's running to the sepulchre, to the tomb, and he wants to find out exactly what happened. But before she gets there, she realizes that the stone that had been rolled to cover the sepulchre was open. And she starts crying. She starts wondering what could have happened to my Lord. Amen? And she's wondering. She is staring there. She cannot move. What am I going to do? She was just coming to check out what was happening. And she is finding there, lingering and wondering what could have happened to her Lord. And finally, she finds some two angels inside. Peeps inside, and she finds some two angels there, and there's a conversation that ensues there, and they're reassuring her that Jesus Christ, that he is alive. And then she turns, and as she turns, she finds somebody that she thought was a gardener. You remember that he was in the tomb was kind of like in a garden, and so she turns and finds somebody that she thought was a gardener. And unbeknown to her, it was her Lord. Praise the Lord. And it was, in fact, she could not recognize Jesus until Jesus spoke to her. Praise the Lord. Amen. I love what the Bible says in the book of John, that my sheep shall know my voice. Praise the Lord. She would look at Jesus completely transformed. I think she still had the imagery on the cross, how Jesus was tortured and blood coming out of her body, of his body, and this, completely, configured, disfigured. And could you think that Jesus, would look so handsome and so clean the way he looked to her? And so when he spoke to her, she recognized his voice. Amen? And she says, Rabboni, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So what does this teach us? That in spite of everything, there are people who are going to come to the Lord just to come and check out what is happening. But there are some people also who will come ready to serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. There are people who God has done so much to them that they just want to come and find out what is happening. Praise the Lord. They are ready and eager to serve the Lord. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So those are the events of the women who came up here. And so we find out that as we read in the story that Jesus tells Mary Magdalene to go and tell the disciples of what had happened and to proceed on in Galilee. For in Galilee they'll be able to see him. And listen to this. This was not... I mean, I put myself in the shoes of Mary Magdalene, going to be a messenger that she had seen the risen Lord. And the moment... Now, I want you to know that before Jesus was captured to be taken to the cross, his disciples dispersed in fear, and they were so scared. None of them actually had come before they had received the information that Jesus Christ was alive. But there's a power that came upon them when they heard and when they were reminded of what Jesus had said, that in 3 days he would rise up from the dead. And when they are given this information, Peter and John, and I believe a few disciples, run into the tomb to find out whether this was true. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a power that comes when we know the resurrection power that brought Jesus from the grave. If we ask God to open up our hearts and to line up ourselves with that power, there's an energy that comes in us that reignites us. And so that if we are fearful, if we are afraid of what we are supposed to do for the Lord, then all of a sudden we have that surge to serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen? Remember that even when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the Bible says that within about 3 days, he revealed himself to about 500 people. So this was real. He was alive. Amen? And I believe when the disciples are running into the temple, I don't know what was running through their mind, but I'm thinking, they're wondering, is this really true? But when they came, the Bible says that they found the linen that had tied up Jesus just there where they lay him. And also the cloth that covered his face was folded so nicely and put somewhere on there. And so there was no doubt within their mind that Jesus had risen up. Praise the Lord. Now there could have been a theory that, you know, maybe somebody came and stole his body. But how would they come and steal his body and first of all come and find this corpse that is lying there on the place where they laid him? How would they come and remove the grave clothes and remove everything and just disappear with the body? But when they came up here, they realized that his grave clothes were still there at the place where they laid him. Praise the Lord. Which signified that he was no longer dead, but he was alive. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's now look at what happened when the angel came here, because this is very, very important, and this is what we are supposed to pass over to our children. Now, not only was man involved, you know, when Jesus Christ died, but we also see that there was an angel that came from heaven. You know, he came, and when he came, you know, the first thing that the Bible tells us, that when the angel came and found this big rock, he moved the rock, right? And the Bible tells us that the sentries that were positioned to guard the temple, because this is what exactly happened when the Romans realized that, you know, they remembered at certain point that, you know, this man had said that after the third day he would resurrect. And you know what? They believed it, you know? they believed it. And I was wondering, how much is it, you know, the children of the light are much wiser than the children of the world are much wiser than the children of the light. Sometimes it happens so. You see, these Romans realized that if this guy had said that in 3 days he would resurrect. And so they said, perchance that happens, we are not only going to put a seal on the big door that they put on the grave, but we are going to put some strong centuries or army soldiers to guard the tomb. Amen? And when the angel of God came, the first thing that he did, that these soldiers did, they looked at him and they saw the light and they all fainted. You know? They were fined, paralyzed, almost paralyzed down there. And he opened up the opening of the grave. Now, I want to ask you this. Why do you think the angel opened up the grave opening or the door or this huge stone? Why do you think he rolled it away? Why do you think he did so? Have you ever thought that? Did he roll it away so that Jesus would come out of the grave? Yeah? Did he roll it away so that Jesus would come out of the grave? Jesus had already resurrected. Hallelujah. The reason why he rolled away the stone is so that these women who are coming to find out what happened to Jesus, they would find an opportunity to look inside and find out if he was still there. It was kind of to cancel their unbelief system so that they would know that Jesus is no longer buried in that sepulcher, that he was alive. Hallelujah. Jesus was alive long before the stone was rolled away. Amen. As a matter of fact, remember when Mary Magdalene came inside and looked out, Jesus was no longer in the grave. The person that he thought was the gardener was not in the grave. He was outside the grave. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, when she turned, she saw him and she thought that he was the gardener. And he said, are you the one who took my Lord, the one that hung on the cross yesterday, the one that they put up there? Are you the one? Please tell me where you put him. And she didn't realize that it was Jesus. Amen. The stone had been rolled away by the mighty angel. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter. However, this world systems will try to use theories to say that Jesus never resurrected. The Romans, the leadership of the day in the Romans nation, they tried to put even strong soldiers in there to guard it. They even put a seal that no one would open up that opening of the tomb. But let me tell you, the angel came. He had to roll away the stone. Amen? He rolled away the stone so that we may peep inside and find out that what Jesus had said had already happened and that he was alive. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. So the first thing that the angel does is he rolled the stone away. Somebody say, he rolled the stone away. Okay, the second thing that we also found in that story is that he caused the soldiers, the strength of the world that protected, you know, thought that they would hold Jesus in the tomb. No power would hold Jesus on the tomb. It didn't even matter if they would put some nuclear weapons there, you know, so that anybody would come, that they would beat him up. It wouldn't matter. As long as heaven said that Jesus was alive, he was alive. Praise the Lord. So the strength of their soldiers was rendered powerless. Praise the Lord. And then we also find out that the other obstacle that was removed is the obstacle of unbelief. That's why the stone was rolled away, so that when they would look inside, they would see surely he had said it, that he would rise up again, and Jesus was no longer in the grave. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'd like us to go to the last. There are a few verses that we can read up there. But for the sake of time, I think that's what I wanted to share with you of that, in that section. And so we find out, let's go out to the appearance of the Savior, the appearance of our Lord. And as they were going to tell others, Jesus himself met them in the way, and he came to give them a personal word of encouragement and hope. And he came to them personally so that they might know firsthand that he had indeed risen from the dead. So when he shows up to Mary Magdalene, that was the first person that he showed up. And Mary Magdalene wants to touch him. And he said, no, do not touch me, for I have not ascended to my Father. Praise the Lord. That's what the Bible says, that when Mary, almost when he recognized as he spoke to Mary, he says, Rabboni, I can't recognize it's you. I'm looking at you, but the imagery that I have is the imagery on the cross. So you're alive. And Jesus tells her to go and tell the other disciples that he was risen again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so he is showing up. And you remember many, many times even the disciples were worried. And Thomas, a guy like Thomas, you remember about Thomas? Thomas said, I cannot believe until I do what? And you know, sometimes we beat about Thomas so much. But some of us, most of us are like Thomas. I cannot see until I cannot believe until I. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus, his body, his resurrected body, had an ability to go through walls. And so as they are conversing, and as Thomas is saying, I cannot believe this until I lay my hands on where they pierced, because I know that they nailed him, until I poke my finger on that very hole where they pierced him. And so Jesus shows up to the disciples. Amen. Among the many places that he showed up to his disciples. And he says to Thomas, please come here. Come. Can you touch it? Do you see it? I'm alive. I'm alive again. And Jesus says, now you believe. But Jesus also said something else. That blessed are those who believe without seeing. And that we are the people that he was addressing, because we do not necessarily have to see the pierced hands. It was 2,000 years ago. Praise the Lord. But we believe that he died and he rose again. Praise the Lord. And that's what the book of Romans 10:10 says. It says, he who believes in their heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, and they confess with their mouth that he is the Lord, then they become born again Christians. Praise the Lord. So you have never seen him, but you believe that what the Bible says about what happened on the events of the resurrection weekend, you believe that that's exactly what happens. It is with the heart that believes resulting to righteousness, and with the mouth that we confesses resulting in salvation. Hallelujah. So Jesus appears to many people, as I told you. Within 40 days, he showed up himself to about 500 people. Remember even the story of the two men who were walking towards the mouth, right? You remember that story? Of how they Jesus joins them and they're going, they're having a conversation, and their hearts are rekindled. They do not know what is happening with the conversation that is going on. And as they sit on the table, they just realize, my goodness, this conversation is taking another level. And Jesus suddenly revealed, they open up their eyes, and the Bible says that they knew that this was Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's something that happens when we interact with the resurrected God. He changes us from the inside out. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that is the power that moves us. It is the power that shapes us. It is the power that shapes our destiny. It is the power that shows you where you're going to be 5 years from today. Praise the Lord. We cannot disconnect from the resurrected Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. The adoration of the Lord. So when they met him, they were so overcome with love and joy that they fell at his feet, and which is a natural reaction to love the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, in verse number 10 of where we read, verse number 10 of Matthew 28, verse number 10, the Bible says, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. Praise the Lord. It's the assurance of the Lord that when the Lord speaks to these women, he was speaking this to comfort their hearts and to confirm their mission. He assured them that all is well, that I'm no longer dead, but I'm alive. Amen? That it was no longer any time to mourn and to be sorrowful. The disciples secluded together and they were worried about what was to happen. Their leader had just been killed and they didn't know what to do. Amen? They were worried. But Jesus sends a message through this woman to tell the disciples that it was well, that they no longer had to be afraid. Praise the Lord. And this also is a message to us that we no longer have to be afraid because our God is alive. Praise the Lord. He is alive forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. It was some glorious news that they needed to hear. That only a living Lord can give peace and assurance to the hearts of His people. Only a living Lord can be present with them in the way. And only a living Lord can speak words of comfort, peace, and hope. And thanks be to the God who is living in our lives. Praise the Lord. Now, we come to the last portion of the allegations of the enemy. See, the enemy wanted to counterfeit the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they wanted to draw an allegation that Jesus never came out of the grave. Amen. And when you read that, it's just a crude way of how Jesus came up to fulfill His promise. And in verse number 11, the Romans and the chief priests realized that Jesus had come out of the grave. And they were so scared, you know? They were so scared of this fact because of what Jesus had preached while He was still alive. And so they committed to bribe the soldiers that knew about this to spread lies to the people that the disciples came and stole the body of Jesus. Now, surely, you know, there are some things that you can lie and think you can get away with. But this was really plain clear. They were not going to get away with this. Number one, the disciples were so scared that none of them except one, John the Beloved, was on the cross. All of them were in hiding. They didn't want even to identify with Jesus. Remember even Peter. You remember the story of Peter? That Peter, he said, Jesus said, you know, before the cock crows, on the third time in the night, you'll have denied me. You know? Yeah? Three times, you'll have. And Peter was like, what is Jesus saying? How can I deny Him? And you know, Peter always went with a sword. Remember what happened when they came and took Jesus? He used his sword, right? And he cut somebody's ear. And you know, sometimes we are like that. You know, Jesus, no matter what, you know, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to stay and stick with you. How many times have we said that? No matter what comes, I'm going to stick with you. But how many times have we deserted, even unknowingly? Yet He still loves us. That in the midst of a storm, in the midst of difficult situations, a time comes when you feel that your faith has been invalidated by the challenges that you face every single day. It could be a sickness. It could be a relationship. It could be a thing that you're going through, unbeknown to the world that you're going through that. And sometimes you say, God, I can't even feel you. I can't even hear you. Where have you been? And for some time, unknowingly, you feel separated momentarily from your faith. Amen? You know that? That doesn't take Jesus unawares. Jesus knows our future. Amen? He knows where we are going to be 1 year from today. He knows where we are going to be 5 years from today. And He knew, He predicted on Peter. He told him, before the cock crows three times, man, I tell you, you have denied me. And some of you have watched the movie, you know, they come to Peter when Jesus is going through a very rigorous questioning and torture. And somebody identifies Peter and he says, this looks like one of the guys who are with him. And Peter says, ooh, I don't even know the man. Can you imagine? This guy who was willing to kill somebody for the sake of Jesus. But you know what? I still say, I thank God Peter at least was within the vicinity to witness what was going to Jesus, even while he was denying Him. And three times, people came to Peter and asked him, you look like one of his disciples who were with him. And he said, no, I do not know this guy. And at that point, Jesus looks at Peter. Actually, you know, let me tell you, I read this story sometimes and I put myself in the shoes of Peter. And I find myself like Peter sometimes. Don't you feel like that sometimes? Jesus didn't even know. I mean, I don't think Jesus overheard because of what he was going through at the moment. He was going through the heat of the moment, dealing with his own stuff. But when the cock crowed the third time, his eyes met with Peter's. And at that point, he realized that he had denied him. And Peter looked at Jesus, and he remembered what Jesus had predicted about him. And he said, oh God, how can I, of all people, Peter, myself, the guy who Jesus called him a rock, how could I have denied Jesus? But you know what? Jesus still doesn't cast Peter away. Amen? When Jesus is resurrected, he calls him. You remember when he had prepared a meal for them? You know, like some breakfast? And he looked at Peter and he said, Peter, do you love me? And of course, Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. But he was still having some mentality that he had denied him. And then they continued eating the fish, and he looked at him again. He said, Peter, do you really love me? And this time he got his attention, and he looks at Jesus, and he said, yes, Lord, I love you. And they continue eating a little bit, and he said, Peter! Do you still love me? And at that point, I'm seeing Peter standing up and walking around and now worried. He is thinking, maybe Jesus thinks that I don't love him because he predicted that I denied him the third time. And, you know, I love the answer to Peter towards Jesus. He tells him, Lord, you know everything. Amen? At that point is a point of surrender. Lord, you know everything. I lay bare before you, God. You're able to see my spirit. You're able to see my soul. You're able to see my mind. You're able to see to predict what I'm going to think. You even predicted that I'm going to deny you three times, Lord. You know everything. And at that point, I believe Peter was counteracting the three times that he had denied Jesus. And Jesus told him, feed my lambs. Amen. Hallelujah. It is amazing the unconditional love that Jesus had towards us. I don't know how I'll deal with some guy who says that he's my friend and denies me three times whether I'll just go back to him. I would really, probably, maybe by the Lord's grace, go towards him, but I will feed him with a long spoon. That's me. And God is helping me, maybe. Maybe you might be even in a worse position, maybe. You know what I mean? But Jesus embraces Peter like he had never done anything. Oh my God. He embraces Peter like he had never done anything. He loves on him. Amen. Remember this time when Peter had almost given up. My Jesus is dead, and so this thing I think is done. So I'm going fishing. You know? And they go fishing and with his friends, and they toil the whole night. And nothing happens. But Jesus comes and tells him, oh, you know what? Just put your nets on this other side. And Peter told Peter, you know, we've toiled the whole night. I'm tired, you know, and I'm a professional fisherman. I did everything that I had to do. I knew where the fishes would be, and I put them at the right position. And I knew that we would get, but we didn't get even nothing, zero, zipper. But he said, but at your word, oh my God, but at your word, what does this tell us, church? No matter how you struggle, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what zero results that you've gotten even from your labor, we ought to desire to hear the word of the Lord concerning that thing. Because Peter told Jesus, but at your word, I will cast out my nets. Let me tell you. A miracle happened that day because the Bible says that the catch that was on their nets was so intense and so large that it broke their nets. Amen. I feel like some nets need to be broken here in this house, because Jesus is going to say some word concerning your situation. Amen. The resurrected Lord is going to speak some word in your situation today. Amen. And your nets have been empty for too long a time. It is time that I go back to the Lord and tell him, God, what is the word regarding this situation? What is your word regarding this sickness? What is your word regarding my child? What is your word regarding my career? What is your word regarding what I'm going through right now? And when he speaks it, you don't have to go empty-handed. You'll be able to pull and you say, I wished I consulted earlier. I wished I talked to him earlier about this. Why did I have to spend 3 years? Why did I have to spend 5 years? Why did I have to spend all this eternity seeing zero results? I wish I knew this earlier. Church, I feel that somebody needs to talk to God regarding issues and situations that we are going through. Think about this. That he toiled for a whole night. A whole 12 hours. That's what I believe. You know, graveyard shift. Huh? Trying to make it. But Jesus came in the morning, in the dawn of the day, and he told him, just cast your nets. How many minutes was it? It was just a word. And when he put his nets, I don't think even 5 minutes went by. And what he intended to have for the whole night, he got it within 5 minutes. Just because Jesus spoke. Oh, somebody get a hint. Say, somebody get a hint. Somebody get a hint. That Jesus needs to speak in our situations. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now I want to finish this thing so that we can go to the next activity. So the Romans came together and tried to construe a plan and to try to invalidate that Jesus had resurrected. And they went and lied and paid out bribes, you know, to the soldiers that were manning the grave of their friends. And so most of the Jews, think about the power of just canoeing and just invalidating that message. That even to this day, some Jews people struggle that the Messiah came. Just because of the lies that were spread out on that day by the Romans. That Jesus never resurrected. Amen? So count yourself as a blessed person. Because it has been revealed to you that Jesus Christ died and he rose again. Amen? Count yourself as blessed. And we have no one to blame if we don't come to this information and know that Jesus Christ is alive. Praise the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. The events of the cross reveal to us that we have a Savior. That when he arose and he said, I have to go up to my Father, the Bible says that he is seated on the right hand side and he is interceding for you and me. Amen. And I thank God, because our God is a God who took on a human body. He took on a human body to experience what we experience today. The Bible says that he is familiar with the things that we go through. He is familiar with our weaknesses. Amen? Amen? And the other day somebody told us, as long as you're breathing, there's no point where you cannot do a 180 and say, Lord, I choose you. Lord, I want to be dedicated to you. Lord, I want to serve you the whole of my life. Lord, I want to completely surrender myself to you. Amen? He understands what you go through. He went through the things that you're going through. Amen? Because he was still a human being. Praise the Lord. And so he is the one that is best suited to take care of our needs and our problems. Praise the Lord. And I spoke this word so that our children who are here also may know that God is going to take care of you kids. Praise the Lord. Amen? We need to commit our plans to the Lord. Amen? Knowing that he is alive. Joshua, the Lord is alive, right? All children, the Lord is alive. Where are the kids? Can you stand up on your feet? Can all the children stand up on your feet? Children, please. children, stand up on your feet. I would like you to shout and say this. Jesus is alive. If you're a kid, just stand up. Stand up if you're a kid. You know? Stand up if you're a child. I would like you to shout, Jesus is alive. Again. We can't hear it. I cannot hear it. I didn't hear it. Amen. 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 Jesus is alive. May that be recorded at the back of your mind forever, to know that Jesus is alive. Amen. God bless you so much. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful. We are honored to be in your presence. We are thankful, Lord, even for the events that took place this weekend. It may not really be the exact weekend that it took place 2,000 years ago. But Lord, we are thankful, particularly to our Father who sent you to die on the cross for us. We know, Lord, there wouldn't be any remission of sin if you never died and resurrected. And Father, help us, Lord, even to pass over this wonderful gospel message even to our generation, to our children, and so that they can pass it on even to the next generation, and to tell them that Jesus Christ was once alive on this planet, that he lived a life worthy of his call, and that it came upon him to die at one point for the sake of all humanity. And now, as he died, he was taken into the grave, and after the third day, he rose again, and that he is alive today, interceding for each one of us. And that anybody who would want to have a relationship with him would be saved from eternal damnation by believing in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and by openly confessing with their mouth that he is the Lord. Amen. It is simple. And I thank you, Father, for what you did and accomplished on the cross. The Bible tells us that unless a kind of wheat falls down into the ground and dies, it abides but alone. But I thank you because you are that seed that died, and out of it, so many seeds, which we are, came forth. Lord, I thank you because we are now children of the Father because of what Jesus you did on the cross. And I thank you because it pleased the Lord so much to see the travail of his soul. In the book of Isaiah 53, it tells us that the Father looked at his son as he travailed and as he cried and as he was tortured and as his presence was being removed from him, and he rejoiced because of the travail of his son, because he knew that many sons would come up after him. And I know that when the Father looks at us this morning, he is overjoyed because of what was accomplished on the cross. We are those sons and daughters that have come up because of the death of Jesus on the cross. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We can't thank you enough for what you did. We'll be forever be grateful, even for the activities of the cross. We thank you, Father, and we bless you. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Someone who loves him, shout a big amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him a hand clap, please. Amen. 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 Praise